All right. I guess we'll go forward on a study. One of the things I've been looking at a lot, and again, trying to work on the language of the Bible, you know, we're looking in the end of the church age, we're looking at the book of Revelation, we're looking at a lot of verses that focus in on the end of the world, and in order to understand these things, we need to understand the meanings of words. And one of the key things, I think one of the first and foremost things we need to see and understand in order to understand, for instance, the end of the church age, is the fact that there are two cities, there are two Jerusalems, there are two Israels. And until we see that clearly in the Bible, I don't think that we can understand that an end of a church age could come and what exactly that might mean. So let's look at a study, we'll call this the Holy City. And, you know, we find the Holy City in Israel, the nation of Israel. And the word nation really brings us to a picture of family, the family of Israel. And we read, for instance, well, let's look at the word Israel first before we look at the word family or the children of Israel. Israel is a focus in on Christ. We read in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." When we jump up a little further in Exodus in chapter 6, we see in verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land." And the children of Israel is the children of Christ. Christ is his son. And that is the focus. And we are the body of Christ. We are the children of God. We are the nation, the family of God, the family of Israel, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel. God gives us a richness of language on how to look at this, that we are part of Christ, the body of Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And so when he shall appear, we shall know. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? And he goes on, "For we shall see him." And there will be a changing. The Bible speaks of that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant. This mortal must put on immortality. We will be given spiritual bodies, eternal bodies, and they will be fashioned in a body that like unto Christ. It will be fashioned as a body that we will dwell with the Lord in an eternal heaven and earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, which is Christ himself. We will have a spiritual body. And so it'll be the nature of that world. Ultimately, the nature of that world will be focusing in on the glory of God. It'll be glorifying God. And so we will be given an eternal body. But the Bible is clear that now are we the sons of God. And that's because we've received a spiritual soul. We've been resurrected. We received a resurrected soul. And we have the mind of Christ and the desire to know the things of God. So the nation of Israel, and Israel is Christ, and that nation is identifying with the children of God, the children of Israel. In Matthew chapter 2, we read in verse 6, "And thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And so out of Bethlehem in the land of Judah, And I think this particular land, it is the word Ge, G-E, and this particular land of Judah is identifying with the Church of God, the corporate church in this case, and that Christ will come out of that corporate people, ultimately out of the body of Christ, but also the body of Christ is dwelling within that corporate nation, the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel, in its corporate sense, is identifying as a church, a corporate body. Most of the people of the nation of Israel, in its literal sense, was unsaved. That was the common state of being. Just as in the churches of the New Testament, the common state is most people are unsaved in the corporate churches throughout the church age. There's always just been a remnant. God tells us not to make not only our calling, but our election sure. Many are called, but few are chosen. So many people respond to the call, but they are not necessarily God's elect. Most of them are not. They saw an interest in something. They recognized the truth in something, and they were drawn underneath it. But they have never come to salvation. But they have become sanctified. And this is the way of many, of all of us, actually. We've all come under the hearing unsaved first, and then at some point God makes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He opens our ears and our understanding. John chapter 1 verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, that is to Christ, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And he is the King of his kingdom, and his kingdom is made up of the body of Christ, the body of believers. And here is a picture of Israel identifying with the body of Christ. There are two Israels. There are two families. There are two nations, ultimately. There are two kingdoms. One is a corporate and one is a spiritual. In Romans chapter 9, we read in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. God is referring to those who are of the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaining the adoption and the glory and the covenants and given of the law and the services of God and the promises, who are the fathers and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So here God is giving us the clear picture that there are two Israel. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. The one Israel that is in focus is the body of Christ. They are not all of the body of Christ, which are of the corporate body, the corporate Israel, the corporate church. So I think here clearly is seen in Romans 9, verse 6, how there are indeed two Israels, one inside another in this case, of the Old Testament, and one inside another. Again, same picture, hasn't changed throughout the church age until God has taken Israel out of Israel, commanded us to come out. Neither because they are seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise. This brings us to the spiritual focus, what's taken place in the heart, what took place in our soul existence. And the heart is the direction of the soul and of the body. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They are not all of Christ, which are of Christ, they're being called Christian, in other words, within the churches. In Romans, as we continue, we get to chapter 11, we read in verse 25, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, and again, now, if we read this superficially without going back to the Bible, then we are going to be blind. We're going to consider ourselves wise in our own conceits, because we have to interpret God's word by God's word. This is the mind of God, and we're not to privately interpret the mind of God, as the Bible tells us. But let me read on. Least you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part happened to Israel. And that blindness in part happening to Israel is identifying with the nation of Israel, national Israel, and also could be referring also to the corporate church of the New Testament, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And in this fashion, and the word so is in view here, and it is not the word and then all Israel shall be saved. It says, and in this fashion all Israel shall be saved. And so all Israel shall be saved. Well, what is God speaking of? You know, is he saying, and then all Israel shall be saved? And of course he is not saying then all Israel shall be saved, as if a whole nation is to become to salvation, or in the place of the corporate church of the New Testament, all that are in the church is going to become saved. God is not saying that. The focus is that in this fashion all Israel shall be saved. Spiritual Israel, both Jew and Gentile, whether they come from the nation of Israel or whether they come from the nations of the world, whoever become born again becomes a Jew. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And Jacob is, this brings us to the spiritual Israel, the children of God. Romans 2:28, the principle set forth. For he is not a Jew, which is one outward, neither is he is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. It doesn't have to do with the flesh. That's not where salvation is going to come, because of something of your flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. This is a spiritual thing. This is something that God does on a spiritual level, a changing of direction. The circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praises is not of men, but of God. So, we clearly see that there are two Israels here. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. There are two Israels. And the nation of Israel that is in view, that God speaks of coming to salvation, is identifying with the body of Christ. It is identifying with the spiritual. Within the nation of Israel, we have a city, and God again refers to this city as the body of Christ. And there are two cities, there are two Jerusalems that are in view. There is the corporate church, and then there is the spiritual city of God. Let's see. If I can find that verse. I know I have some notes on this verse. We'll come up to it. I wanted to get it now, but we'll come up to it. We read in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 16, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and will scourge you in their synagogues. And the synagogues is identifying with the churches. It's the place where the worshiping should be taking place. It is identifying with the church. And it's that place that we are sent forth in the midst of wolves. That's where the midst of wolves are found. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings, those are rulers, for my name's sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. It is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. You see, this city that is in view here is identifying with the corporate churches. When they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For truly I say unto you, you shall have gone over the cities of Israel. You shall have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And so the cities of Israel, there are many cities. This identifies with all of the churches, the corporate bodies throughout the church. And these corporate bodies is a picture of the denominations. We see them in denominations. We go from city to city. When this city rejects, we go to another city. God identifies this corporate church as a great city in Revelation 14, verse 8. And that's collectively bringing all of the denominations, all of the corporate bodies together. Just as the body of Christ, you know, you have two or three here or two or three there. There is really only one body that's in view, even though there are many groups, many families. Same thing with the corporate church. Even though you have a corporate body over here and a corporate body over there, you take a denomination, for instance, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Baptist, Catholic, any of them. Take any of these churches, and they're all broken up into groups, many, many churches. But the same is view in view with the denominations. It is men who have divided Christ, not God. Some say they're of Apollos, others say they're of Paul, and so on. Is Christ divided? And so men have divided Christ, and they've taken his word, and they've divided his word, and they've rejected this one, and they reject that one. What is in view, all of these cities, is really God identifies them as a great city. And he gives that great city a name collectively, and he calls it Babylon. In Revelation 14, verse 8, we read, "And there followed another messenger, saying," and this messenger is the Holy Spirit moving through the body of Christ, saying, delivering the message of its time, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she hath made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So here is that great city that has fallen, that fell, and we're told to flee out. We read in Jeremiah 51, verse 6, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon." You see, God has given that great city, which is all of the churches collectively, the corporate body. God refers to them as Babylon. And now in Jeremiah 51, we read in the language of verse 6, "Flee out in the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of Jehovah's vengeance. And if we become part of her, we'll be cut off from God in her iniquity. This is the time of Jehovah's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." Compare this to Revelation 18:21, "And a mighty messenger stood up, took up a stone like a great millstone." This is the place where the gospel was preached. This millstone identifies with the place where the crushing of the grain to prepare the bread. And now he takes up this great stone, which was a great millstone, a place where the gospel was prepared and preached, and cast it into the sea. To be cast into the sea identifies with the world, but the sea identifies with the fact that the world is heading to hell. To sink down into that sea identifies with sinking into hell. And that's exactly what happens when you throw a great stone, a great millstone, into the sea. It's going to sink. It's not going to float. And so it's cast into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all." So this great city, Babylon, identifies collectively of all of the corporate churches, all of the corporate bodies. We read in the body of Christ that should witness to these cities in Acts 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So here we have this picture of the Holy Ghost has brought witness into every city. And they've constantly and consistently, of course, rejected. We see that's the language of the Bible. The harlot is constantly rejecting and resisting. In Matthew 23, verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you built the tombs of the prophets. These are the leaders of the churches, those who are saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, woe to the hypocrites. And we've always seen churches filled with hypocrites, because you have built the tombs. They're supposed to be building the body of Christ by the preaching of the Word of God. Of course, Christ himself is supposed to be the master builder, working within them, they being the workmanship. But instead, they have built the tombs of the prophet and garnished the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners or partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witness unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killeth the prophets. Fill ye up, then, the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city. You see, we've gone from city to city, and thus has been the flight of the body of Christ throughout the past 2,000 years, moving from city to city as one church become apostate, moving on to another. You know, we look back into history and we see the horrible things that men have done in the name of God. We look back into the dark ages and we wonder where was the working of the things of God back then. They're not found in the history. We see a story here or there. When we come to the time of Reformation, but we even wonder about those times. You know, it has always been a rare thing to fall under the hearing of the Word of God, I think. They shall be persecuted. They shall persecute them from city to city, and persecute them from city to city, scourged in your synagogues, in the churches, in the corporate bodies, in the place where we should expect to find the gospel being preached. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 8, Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto Jehovah, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. So if he has sanctified a sanctuary forever, then that is the inner sanctuary. That is to become part of the body of Christ. Enter into the door. Enter into the kingdom of God. Enter into the body of Christ. Enter into his sanctuary. Let me reread that. Verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto Jehovah. Yield yourself and enter into the sanctuary, into the body, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve Jehovah your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. If you become part of the body, the fierceness of his wrath has been turned away from you. You were part of the kingdom of the world, but now the kingdom of his dear Son, and he has received the wrath of God on your behalf. So the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you. For if you turn again unto Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into the land. For Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if ye return unto him. So the posts passed from city to city. This word posts is identifying with the runners. So the runners passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Instead of receiving the word of God, they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. And that, of course, is the common state of the body of Christ, being laughed unto scorn, to be mocked, to be rejected. As they run, they pass from city to city, through the countries, through the families, from Ephraim even on to Zebulun. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, we read, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." So the body of Christ disciples other by the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. And as long as God has a plan for this church or that church, it will remain true to the word of God until God accomplishes whatever it is that he wants to accomplish into that church. And then he leads it into judgment, and it is found dead along the wayside, as we have seen throughout history, all of these dead churches. And today now, of course, we again see them clearly in our own time, all these dead churches, these dead bodies laying upon the wayside. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the true city of God, the body of Christ, the contrast of the other city as we go from city to city. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, "By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." And that city is the city of God, the Jerusalem above the body of Christ, the dwelling place, which is to rest in Christ. In Acts chapter 25, verse 22, "Then Agrippa saith unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow. Said he, that thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bemis with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and the principal men of the city." The place of hearing. It is the place where people come under the hearing of the word of God. This is identifying with the corporate church. And they came in with what? With great pomp. They were full of themselves. "And was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and the principal men of the cities." The principal men of the city is probably the picture of the body of Christ, the body of believers. At Festus commanded, Paul was brought forth. And so here they come under the hearing, and they come to hear, but they've come with great pomp. Acts chapter 21, verse 26. "And Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended," and I've been looking at these 7 days, interesting picture identifying with the first fruits. Matter of fact, I may be looking at that on the next Bible study on Thursday. Which we're going to look at the a focus of the 7 days, or the seventh week, or the week of sevens, I think it's referred to. But anyway, which is really bringing us to the end of the world, it's bringing us to the Great Tribulation, it's bringing us to the Sabbath, which we're now in, spiritually speaking, the time of the Sabbath. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people." and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. And here is a picture of calling good evil. They have laid hands on him, and they claim that he has polluted the holy place. For they had not seen before with him in the city Theropanus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And this is a picture of being killed all the day long, to be silenced. And all of the city, that is the corporate church, they was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul. Paul is a picture of the body of Christ throughout the church age. We get many a picture of him on how he was, you know, even killed and cast out and left for dead, and he found himself in perils in everywhere he went. And again, we are also constantly being assaulted when we bring the truth. And every time, as soon as we start bringing the gospel, we find the assault immediately. People reject and deny. They were silenced, were killed all the day long. And here in the church, at some point in the corporate church, drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. He was killed, spiritually speaking. Acts 18, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee or hurt thee. I have much people in this city." So even though these churches, these corporate bodies, have been filled with the things of men, and it is they who have polluted the word of God, the truth of God, even though there is the denominational thinking and the dividing of Christ and the constant rejection of the truth and the dividing of Christ, nevertheless God tells us, "I have much people in this city." The gospel is still going to go forward. Thus the focus of the meaning of the words where Christ said that I will build my church, and the gates of hell, that's the corporate church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The corporate church is a picture of the teachings of men. And God refers to them as the gates of hell. He says their mouths are open sepulchres. Anyone who was unsaved, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and declaring the truth, the lie in place of the truth, is an open sepulcher. They are the gates of hell. Acts 17, verse 5. Oh, no. Acts 17, verse 16. Yeah, 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Idolatry identifies with running after other gods, another Jesus, another God. Verse 5, Acts 17, verse 5, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the whole world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.' And they trouble the people and the city and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." So whenever the body of Christ declares the truth, they will always trouble the people and the rulers of the city. Now there are times and places where God has raised up churches and the body of Christ that ruled in those churches for a time, until God brings them to judgment at some point. But again, the gates of hell will not prevail. Um, again troubled in the city. We read in Acts 16 verse 20, and brought them unto the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. They make waves in the city. They trouble the city. They have a harmony. They have everybody at rest in thinking that all is okay and all is well. And then these people preaching this gospel, preaching this Jesus, come in and trouble our city. Acts 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoke by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Rejecting and denying is the focus here. When the body of Christ brings in the truth, then those who are coming in sheep clothing, who are actually, you know, deceivers, those are angels, messengers who have transformed into angels of light, messengers of light, messengers of the gospel. Those bringing in heresies and denying the truth. So they bring a contradiction, and in their contradiction they blaspheme. Acts 9 verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So, during the church age, we have always rested in Christ, and we've risen when we received the word. We've risen up, and we've gone into the cities to preach the gospel, and we trust that the Holy Spirit will lead us into those things that we must do, those things that we must bring forth. Acts 7:44, our fathers hath the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he hath appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus unto the possessions of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the land of David, who found favor before God and desired to find the tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Now that's a very interesting picture. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Earth, this word earth is the word G-E. It identifies with the corporate church. The corporate church is the footstool of God. It is the place where he rests his feet. He makes his enemies his footstool. We see this picture clearly in the preaching and teaching of Christ. They tried to constantly trick and to trap Jesus, and they became his footstool. They came with this question, and God revealed a truth. As he was led by the Holy Spirit, for he was the Holy Spirit. He is the living Word. And the same is in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is within us, and we are led by the Holy Spirit, and the earth becomes the footstool. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth in the temples made with hands. Howbeit, not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, heaven is my throne. And where do we find heaven? Heaven is in the body of Christ. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Christ risen in our souls, in our hearts. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Create in me a new heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit, a Holy Spirit. It is where Christ dwells. We are righteous because it is Christ within us that is righteous. We are seated with him in heavenly places, in our soul existence, with Christ. We are ruling and reigning with him figuratively. 1,000 years brings us off into eternity. 1,000 years living and reigning and ruling. Where? In our soul existence. Christ is on the throne and we are seated with him. He is ruling. And that is the picture. Heaven is my throne. The body of Christ is my throne. and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcisioned in the heart and ears? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Who has received the law by the disposition of messengers, and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looketh up steadfast into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So here, Stephen is a picture of the body of Christ, taken out of the city and stoned. In Acts chapter 8, we read in verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And so here is the picture of the false prophet, the false teachers. And the battle is in the city. The battle is in the city, and there are two cities. The city of God cannot be overthrown, the body of Christ, but the corporate body is. And we see these two cities in the picture of the two sons. We read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22, For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. So there are two women in view here, two mothers in view here, two sons. Abraham had two sons. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. He was fleshly minded. But he of the free woman was after the promise. He was spiritually minded. Which things are an allegory, the Lord says. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generates the bondage. Those are those who are under the law, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So all of us who are part of the body of Christ are of the Jerusalem above, in opposed to the corporate body being identified with the Jerusalem below, that which is still in bondage with her children, that which is still under the law. Abraham had two sons. Remember, the Lord said, I have not lost any except the son of perdition. Abraham had two sons. The corporate body, the fleshly minded, is lost. Many are called, few are chosen. They've come close, they've become sanctified, they've come under the hearing. There are two cities in view. There are two Jerusalems. There are two Israels. When we look at Paul, Paul is that perfect picture of the body of Christ amongst the corporate church, amongst his people, amongst the Jews. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me see. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read in verse 20, somewhere around there. Let's see where we'll start reading here. Let's start, go back even further, verse 10. Yeah, maybe we'll start in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. And now this is Paul speaking, and he is identifying with the body of Christ, and as the truth of Christ is in us, no man shall stop us of the boastings. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desireth occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles. So he is identifying these people as they glory and they seem to be found even as we are found, but they are false prophets, they are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourself are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in laborers, more abundant. Verse 23, are they the ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. Of course, they're not the ministers of Christ. That's the point. And he goes on to say, I am more than those who claim to be the minister of Christ. I am a minister of Christ. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison, more frequent, in depths often. And then he goes on to list out the assault upon him by the corporate body, by the Jews. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hungry and in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for ever, knoweth that I lie not. So here is a picture of the body of Christ in Paul. And this is the picture of the assault that takes place in the city. The assault by his own countrymen. The assault upon him. And that is what takes place upon the body of Christ. Let's see. Looking at Jerusalem and the two cities, and we saw Galatians chapter 4, where God speaks of two sons, one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman, and identifies them as one above and one below, and refers to them as two Jerusalems. And Jerusalem identifies with the church. You can't separate that idea. Jerusalem identifies with the church. The point is that there are two churches in view, one corporate and one spiritual, one carnal and one spiritual. We see the Jerusalem below in other places. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 7. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against Jehovah, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doeth witness against them, and they declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. So there is a picture of Jerusalem being ruined, and Judah is fallen. And they hide it not. They have no problem coming right out against the Bible. And even when it's clearly laid before them the truth of the Word of God, they have no problem denying it openly. Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. This isn't the first time that Christ has left the corporate church dead, desolate, left on the wayside, abandoned it, called his people out of it. Isaiah 64:10, thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burnt up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. It has been judged and burned with fire. Jeremiah 8:5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. Jeremiah 9:11, and I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that they may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through. And Jehovah saith, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imaginations of their own hearts, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Clearly, God is giving us a picture of a Jerusalem that is totally desolate, a Jerusalem that is in a perpetual backsliding, a Jerusalem that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto them. Jerusalems that are in heaps and a den of dragons. Jerusalems that is made into a desolate city without any inhabitants. And the inhabitants that is in view and the desolation that is in view is the removing of His Holy Spirit by the removing of the preaching of the gospel, by the removing of the body of Christ. Jerusalem is ruined, the Judah, and Judah is fallen because their tongues and their doings are against Jehovah to provoke the eyes of His glory. They have rejected, they have denied, and therefore they will be burnt up with fire. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return unto the Lord. And that's the beginning message to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Return unto your first love. Return unto the Lord. Return unto the Word of God. Repent. Now, of course, there is, in contrast, the Jerusalem above. Isaiah 4:1, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And that's a picture of the corporate church. In that day shall the branch of Jehovah be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. And that is a picture of the body of Christ. And the corporate church has taken hold of one man. That one man that is in view here is Christ Himself. He is the man that the seven women, the seven churches, seven being a picture of that which is the perfection of the place where God is working in the corporate body, that is, the seven women taking hold on Christ. But they say unto Christ, we have our own bread, we don't need your bread, we have our own food, no need to give us that. We have our own covering too. We have our own apparel. We don't need your pure white linen. We have our own covering, and we have our own food. We just want your name. We want to be called Christian. Just only let us be called by thy name. Let us have the name of Christian, and that'll take away our reproach. But in the same day, God speaks of the living in Jerusalem. Those that are that he has left in Zion, the high place up on the mountain, those that remaineth in the body of Christ in Jerusalem, those that shall be called the holy. In Revelation 21, we get another picture of this Jerusalem above. In verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. They've been brought under judgment. And there was no more sea. The world is described as the sea. The spiritual picture of the sea is the world. And the world, the sea is a picture of the world heading to hell. And God is now speaking of a picture of eternity. And there will be no sea. There is no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle of God with men, and he will dwell with them. It is a dwelling place, the tabernacle of men. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Verse 9. Revelation 21, verse 9, we get the same kind of a picture where the Holy Jerusalem, actually verse 10, Holy Jerusalem descends down out of heaven from God. Revelation chapter 3, And in verse 7, we read of the messenger of the church of Philadelphia writing, write these things, saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Christ is that open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little faith. No man can prevent you from going through that door if you are one of God's elect. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and that is the word dwelling richly within our hearts, and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogues of Satan, which say they are Jews, or say they are of Christ, or say they are of Christians, say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And again, this word earth is identifying with the church, the corporate church. They are being tried. We have been kept from that hour, the hour of judgment, the hour of temptation. And the world has been tried. You know, the Lord speaks of him coming in a day that they are not aware of. They don't even know that he has come in judgment. And he has called his people out, that they have been left without the Holy Spirit. They have another spirit, and it is not the Holy Spirit. Because thou, verse 10, I'll go back. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. This isn't something that's happening in a few places. It shall come upon all the world. It is everywhere. This is the great tribulation that's in view. To try them that dwell upon the earth. See, the body of Christ declares the truth and they deny it. They've been tried. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, to become part of the body of Christ. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my new God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. That's the body of Christ, which cometh down out of heaven from God, from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And we find, as we study the Bible, the new name is the Word. That's the name of God. And, you know, we talk about the Bible and the Bible alone and the Bible only. And some people say they talk about the Bible as if the Bible is their God. Well, it is the mind of God. It is the Word of God. It is his new name. It is the Word that dwells richly within us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ cannot be separated from his Word, for by his Word we do know him. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so the time comes when we are to come out of that church, to depart out, and we know that that time has come. And we've seen that because Jerusalem had been compassed with armies. Jerusalem being a picture. In both cases, there's two Jerusalems here. There's the Jerusalem above, which is the body of Christ. There's Jerusalem below, which is the corporate church. And there's the body of Christ. We find that was surrounded with armies, were compassed with armies. The enemy has total control. We don't have control of the pulpit. We don't have control of the place of the teaching of the truth. The enemy has taken control. In Luke 21, verse 10, then saith he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. That's city against city. That's family against family. This word nation has nothing to do with the nations of the world. It is the families of the churches of God. It's the place that is called by his name. It is the place where the gospel is being preached. It is denomination to denomination, and even a church within the same denomination, church among church. Nation shall rise against nation. None of them will hold the same truth. One will say this and the other will say that. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in various places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven. And this is all identifying with the shaking up of a kingdom, earthquakes, spiritual earthquakes. famine of hearing the word of God, pestilence of destroying the stored word of God, fearful sights, great signs come out of from my people, there shall be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up into the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. At some point, that'll become the testimony when we depart out and we tell them that we're leaving them because the truth is no longer found here, that God has commanded us to come out. It has turned for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you cannot respond word by word, line upon line. They cannot resist it. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Be there, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls, patiently waiting on the Lord. And that is the key. You know, with those of us who have come through the Great Tribulation and have been able to view this, especially from the beginning, but even no matter where you come in on this, and you start to look to see how God is just revealing it at the time that it is happening. And, you know, we see these things happening, and we're patiently waiting on the Lord to reveal to us what is going on. And in our patience, possess ye your souls, patiently waiting on the Lord for the truth. Verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, this compassed with armies identifies with an encampment. A camping ground, the body of troops. When you see the enemy resting amongst you very comfortably in total control, then know that desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. You know, those who are within Judea, Judea has two meanings, just like Israel has two meanings and Jerusalem has two meanings. Judea has two meanings, and more often than not, Judea identifies with the body of Christ. Let them who are in Christ, let them who are part of the body of Christ flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Come out of her, my people, depart out. And let not them which are in the countries enter thereunto. Don't go back in. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So there are two Jerusalems. There's one above, one below. Jerusalem has to be understood by the context which is being put in view. You know, we look at this word compassed. As compassed is to be encircled, to be surrounded, to be around about. It's used 11 times in the Bible. And we find a few of these places here's one in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And there came thither a certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, they encircled him, round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barabbas and Zebedee. So here's a picture of him being stoned, and they drew him out of the city. And so he's been killed, and now here's the disciples. I think that's the picture, that he's actually been killed, and he stood up, howbeit as the disciples stood around about him. He got up. But this stood around about him is the very same word that is in view here, to be compassed with armies, to be round about, to be encircled. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we read, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days to encircle, to be round about, to be encircled." By troops is what's in picture here, and again, this is the same word in Greek, compassed about. And we see this picture of compassed by camp in Revelation 20, verse 7. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out and deceive the nations which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints." They surrounded the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And that's the judgment, as we see them being destroyed. We see the cities burning, spiritually speaking. To those of us who are born again, and God who's opened our eyes to these things, and He's opened our eyes to see the spiritual language of the Bible, we see the cities burning. We see the judgment of God upon them. We see that there is no fruit amongst them. We see that there is no blessings being poured out to them. But they are a burning city, a place of flame, a place without water, a place where the clouds bring no rain upon it, a place of tumbleweeds, a place of thorns and thistles, a dead vine, trees plucked up by their roots, just a desolate place, no leaves. The leaves have faded, there are no leaves, they're brown and dried up. They have fallen. They have been left desolate. Mark 13:14. "But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let him that be in Christ or be in Judea flee to God, flee to the mountains." In Daniel 8, verse 7, "And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with Kula against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. And out of them, out of one of them came a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, and towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heavens, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. And yet, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily," or the continual, "the light was taken away, and the peace of the sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily," or against the continual, against the light, "by reason of the transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint say unto the certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily, or the continual, or the light, and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under the foot? And he said unto me, Upon 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleaned." So that's 2,300 days. 2,300 days. Then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. And that is identifying with the first part of the Great Tribulation, the 2,300 evening and mornings, the 2,300 days. And that also identifies with what we understand as the first half hour. But we read let's see, concerning Satan and his ruling and taking a seat in the temple and his end in Isaiah chapter 14 verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee in thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth. The chief ones of the earth. This word earth again brings us to the church. The chief ones of the church. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the families or of the nations, the denominations. All they speak shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Remember, he is the spirit of man. Satan is the spirit of man, the Antichrist, and all of his followers is the spirit of man. The number of the beast is the number of man. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And this could only be Satan being worshipped as God, sitting in the churches. It is the Spirit, but it is not the Holy Spirit. It is an unholy spirit identifying himself with God. And he is sitting upon the mount of the congregation. That identifies with the corporate church. You can't identify with the body of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is within the body of Christ. When light dwells in our hearts, the darkness flees. It can only identify with the congregation in the corporate sense, in the sides of the north. And he has ascended above the heights of the clouds, where the clouds were bringing in the rains, the early rains and the latter rains, which is the gospel. God sends the clouds as the dew in the morning and so on, and the rains to bring and feed the plant, the seeds, to bring forth the seed. And now the clouds have been commanded that they bring no rain upon those cities. The clouds are commanded not to bring rain to the cities. And here Satan says that he has ascended above the heights of the clouds. He is the one that appears to bring in the rain. But it is not a rain of the gospel. It is another rain. It is another gospel. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? He's identified with man because he is the spirit of man. He dwells. That's where Satan dwells. Satan dwells in the hearts of unsaved men, as the Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of the body of Christ, the body of believers. The Bible clearly tells us that the hearts of men are full of darkness and wickedness. Who could know it? And the day star has to arise in our hearts so that the darkness could be cast out. We have this picture of Satan being cast out. We have this picture of the demons being cast out of people, out of the hearts, in order that they might become born again, that the day star might arise in their hearts. So is this the man that he made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? They are destroyed, the cities of God, Jerusalem below, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners, the gospel, he prevented the gospel from going forward. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an ab- abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones and of the pits, as the carcass trodden under foot. Those shall not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain the people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. And they will not be joined with them in burial. The idea of being buried identifies with being buried with Christ. So judgment has come upon that Israel. Judgment has come upon the Israel below, the corporate city. Luke 11:17, but he, knowing their thoughts, saith unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house cannot and a house divided against a house falleth. There is only one truth. You can't teach two truths. Psalms 79:1. O God, the heathens are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. And they cannot be talking about the body of Christ. This is speaking about Jerusalem below. The holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants, they are given to be meat unto the fowls of heaven, the flesh of the saints unto the beast of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem. And there is none to bury them. There is none to preach the gospel. We are becoming a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Zechariah 14:12, and this shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall be consumed away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall be consumed away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. All right, I want to end it there. If anybody has anything they might want to add, any corrections or comments, anything, feel free to pick up the mic.